Welcome to the Command the Mic podcast. My name is George Carmi. I'm here with my co-host, Big Doug McRae. I also have Matthew Paris from the Washington Times. How you doing today, Matthew?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Definitely. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. So let's start off. We're recording on a Monday. And, you know, obviously, typically Mondays are typically a slow day to start the week, but not today. We heard some Nikki Javala asked a good, interesting question to Eric Ron Rivera about Eric Bieniemy and his tempo in camp. And we kind of got a mixed review. It seems like some players are a little bit, a little agitated potentially by the tempo. What was your takeaway from that? And what was your takeaway from his comments?
It was an interesting observation or reveal from Rivera. He said that players had kind of come up to him and had he said they were a little concerned about Bieniemy's coaching style. Now, being out here at camp every day, Bieniemy's style is very apparent, is always yelling for players to get set, to finish, to go upstairs. It's demanding all the time. And I thought even the more interesting comment about Rivera, what Rivera said, was in the back half of that quote, he was saying that, you know, Bieniemy has one style. And
Del Rio, you
know,
right?
Him as a head coach, and Del Rio, who's been a head coach, they know to adjust to certain players' personalities. And so, you know, so much of this focus has been, why hasn't Eric Bieniemy gotten a head coaching job? Well, you know, I can't help but see that and wonder if those two things are connected. Now, I don't necessarily know if that's what Rivera meant. I'm not saying that he did say that. It's just, it was striking, and I think players have had to get used to Eric Bieniemy throughout the past couple months here.
I was just going to say, that was your question, right? Why I went back and listened to the press conference, Matthew, about kind of how he adjusts when it's time to adjust. I didn't think he exactly answered the question as you had hoped that he would, or at least presented it. So I have two questions. One is, how do you guys, I think that was the third question of the press conference. How do you guys, drawing straws before it starts? It's on tenure and how long you've been on the beat. How does it start? And then what were you hoping to get out of the question?
Yeah, Kime had started it off. He kind of always starts it off. I sit normally at a different location, and I kind of moved over because Ben was walking around doing interviews. So I took Ben's seat, and I realized Kime actually, his follow-up question was the question I had wanted to ask originally of just, you know, how do you tailor to each guy? So he didn't really answer it. And so I was kind of curious on the specifics of, you know, training camp. If it's a hot day, is he going to grind guys even more or whatever? And, you know, basically my takeaway was Eric Bieniemy is going to be who he is. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think, you know, he's gotten to this point. He's won Super Bowls. Who the hell am I to say otherwise? But it is – it's just such a contrast by kind of how things have been run and kind of what players are used to. Because as Rivera mentioned, a lot of guys coming from college aren't used to this. So it was a very interesting day.
Is it real quick? My bad, George. Is it the grind, Matthew, or the language, or the like? What? Because I think there's mixed ways that the fan base is looking at it. At first, I think it was about the cursing and the language. It feels like maybe it's not that, it's more about style, tempo, things of that nature. Do you have a finger on what it is?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't necessarily know exactly why they would come to Rivera with concerns. They didn't really get into that. But, you know, we talked to Antonio Gibson afterward, and he said that this is the most he's been running, or like the most – these are the hardest practices he's had since coming to the NFL, and this is his fourth season now. So it is an adjustment, I think, even for some guys who you would consider veterans. I think you would consider Antonio Gibson a veteran by now. And so when you have that happen, it is jarring a little bit. But I think, you know, Gibson, as he was talking to us, he was smiling. He was doing, like, kind of impersonations of EB. So I think it has gone over well with some guys. It's just, again, a difference that they have to get used to.
It's funny, Matthew, that you pulled away the whole Jack Del Rio and the flexibility with, his coaching styles. you're definitely on the beat there. You're there every day for practice. Is there a visible difference that you see between like Scott Turner and Eric Bieniemy? Like, I know like it's we hear about it all the time. Yes, I want to hear about. We hear about it all the time in the media. Yeah. We see like people say it, but like, what are some big takeaways in your opinion?
Well, so besides like the obvious, the loudness, the the stuff that you know to finish and stuff, it's the attention to detail that I think is actually a compliment to Eric Bieniemy, and not to say that Scott Turner didn't have that, but at the same time, you know, you didn't really hear that in practice. And even talking to players, you know, I remember asking Brian Robinson during OTAs, like, is this attention to detail new to you, or like, is that something that is new this year? And he said, well, we didn't really have that last year, referring basically to Scott Turner. So it is, you know, pretty different. I think, and if Eric Bieniemy is going to work here, I think that attention to detail is going to be key, because then, you know, it'll translate to the field. You know, I think maybe JP tweeted this. If they're winning, Bieniemy's demanding style isn't going to be a problem. It's going to be attributed to that. It's just if things go off the rails, then what happens? Does that start to grind on guys? Because, you know, right now, through camp, it's all really been positive, which is kind of why Rivera's comments were so interesting today, is because, you know, was he trying to send a message to Bieniemy to tamper it down a little bit or what? You know, we don't really know playing, you know, what is a four-dimensional chess or whatever. So, it was a little – I was fascinated by it.
Matthew, I asked the question on Twitter today, and I'll ask you. In my mind, Rivera – EB has more to lose this year than Ron Rivera. Like Ron Rivera, if things don't work out, he could ride off into the sunset and kind of do whatever he wants, right? He's already been a two-time head coach. He's been in the Super Bowl. To me, this is like EB's real shot here to show something. So the question is, who's under more pressure this year, Ron Rivera or Eric Bieniemy?
Well, I honestly think it's actually Ron Rivera. I mean, having to prove yourself to a new ownership group, they pretty much have to make the playoffs. I think everyone would agree, or he's going to lose his job. I think if it doesn't, you know, if Harris cleans house and even gets rid of Bieniemy after 1 year, I think people will look at that and say, well, you know, he couldn't make it in Washington, but who can? You know, Bieniemy still has the track record of Super Bowls. I think it gives him the way out. I think to your point, Doug, maybe, is that Eric Bieniemy kind of had to take this job, it felt like. You know, he didn't really have a lot of options. Or at least Baltimore filled their offensive coordinator vacancy. There were other offensive coordinator vacancies this offseason, and Washington was the only one who maybe looked at him, or at least he waited it out for Washington to become available. So it is I think I would still say Rivera. I think Bieniemy, if he does well here, great. Maybe it sets him up for a coaching job. And if not, then, you know, it's Washington.
You mentioned the Baltimore job. Do you think that Bieniemy was their first choice for offensive coordinator, or he was who? Were the two of them kind of stuck in a marriage that was bound to be from the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, you heard rumblings that Baltimore was interested, but then they hired Todd Monken before Bieniemy had – the Super Bowl was still going on, right? Their season wasn't over, so they didn't make an official inquiry. But they could have waited if they had wanted to. You know, everyone knew that Bieniemy's contract was expiring and that he was going to be potentially available. So I think that says more about Baltimore, of what they wanted to do with Todd Monken and bringing in people to, you know, revive their offense. So, yeah, I mean, it seemed like this was going to be it's funny, my first initial reaction when I heard Bieniemy in Washington, like way back when, was why would he want to come here? That doesn't make any sense. But as it kind of went on, it was like, okay, this actually might be the best place or the only place for him.
Gotcha. And Matthew, I know you're kind of on press for time, so I want to maybe ask one or two more questions. Today in camp, how are things looking? I know Emmanuel Forbes is kind of nicked up a little bit. I heard he got back with the 11-11s. Curtis Samuel practiced as well. How are they looking out there, and how's the offense looking? Are you concerned at all with like the overall progress throughout camp, or how are you feeling?
Well, if you would have talked to me Friday, I would have maybe started to you know, be more concerned about the offense. I think the offense has actually looked kind of ugly at times. It's kind of very much what you would expect from a young quarterback and the obstacles that have faced it. But I think over the last couple days, starting with Sunday, but especially today, you do see Sam Howell kind of getting the timing more of this offense. He had this really nice throw to Terry McLaurin today, just kind of getting the ball out a lot faster, I think. And that is something that Eric Bieniemy talked about in his presser today, is that early on in camp, you would see Howell overthink things. And now he started to turn a corner. So we'll see. I'll be very interested to see how he performs in the preseason game this week. But that I think it's starting to come together, but it has been very up and down, to be honest with you.
One last one for me. I'm just curious, Matthew, who do you think ends up with more snaps by the end of the year, Jamin Davis or Barton?
Quan Martin, or sorry, who?
Barton, the kid they brought in from Seattle to play middle linebacker.
Oh, Barton. Sorry, I thought you said Quan Martin. I would say Jamin Davis without, like, you know, but factoring his legal situation and whether he serves jail time or whether that happens, I would still say Jamin, you know, that he's their first round pick, that they put a lot on his plate last year. But then again, Barton could be, you know, their middle linebacker that plays all the snaps. And then you saw last year at times, Jamin's role would be like kind of fluctuate. But I would still say Jamin, acknowledging the legal uncertainty. And yeah, I was at court last week, and
They've got Barton wearing the green. Is Barton wearing the green dot at camp?
Yeah. Cody Barton is the mic.
Gotcha. Well, Matthew, I appreciate it. It's never a dull moment down in Ashburn. I appreciate all your time. Thank you for thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of the day. We'll read your stuff later on. All right, man. Take care.
Thanks, baby.
Doug, man, so what's your takeaways from that? So how do you feel about this whole Eric Bieniemy and potentially being too tough on the players?
I went on, like, I sent out like 5 or 6 tweets earlier, just like rapid fire style. So I'll repeat some of them here.
Okay.
This idea that Bieniemy doesn't interview well, and that's why he doesn't have a head coaching job. I think the more and more we listen to him, the more and more I find that just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's because he doesn't adapt his, like he has already said he doesn't adapt his style, that is possible, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not because he doesn't interview well or speak well in front of groups, because I find him to be fantastic. And then the other one is, we should all be thanking Ron Rivera for giving us something to talk about in a time frame when there really is nothing to talk about other than random, you know, fan clips that you see of the ball being thrown from Sam Howell to Terry McLaurin. Like, there really isn't that much going on. So we probably should be thanking the head coach 100%. For giving us something to chat about.
One thing I liked about it, Doug, I think we were talking offline before we got on here, is Eric Bieniemy had his interview, and you and I both watched it. One thing I liked about it was his confidence. Like, he wasn't wavering. He wasn't like, you know, I'm going to change my ways. I don't feel like, you know, maybe I should reflect on what I'm doing. He's like, no, like, with discomfort becomes growth. Like, I'm trying to push these players as far as I can go with them. And, you know, I'm going to be their harshest critic, but their number one fan at the same time. Hey, and
Doug McCray loves that Eric Bieniemy talks in the third person.
That's fantastic, right? I love that. And this isn't new. You know, for those of you that, you know, follow this, like, Eric Bieniemy has been a high stakes kind of guy, somebody that kind of rides his players in a good way. I think tough coaching in football is a type of game where it's like you can really push people past their limits, because people, like, you lose, you know, your mental game. You might not necessarily be so confident. You want someone to push you and take you to that next level. And Logan Paulson even alluded to it on the Take Command podcast by saying at UCLA, he would see this Eric Bieniemy just lighting people up. But at the same time, he saw this tremendous growth. Like, Maurice Jordan-Drew, like, basically became an all-star player from, like, potentially, you know, not really a high recruit to becoming an awesome NFL player because of Eric Bieniemy. So that's fantastic. One or two more. So, like, do you think this is a big deal, Doug? Like, do you see this as a long-term issue for Washington, or just kind of a little blip on the radar?
Well, some of the media folks have pointed out, like, if they're winning football games, then, you know, nobody will care. Also, I think one thing that Matthew kind of cleared up that I think is really important is, like, if you've been in NFL locker rooms or around NFL players or just around guys that make a living not wearing a suit and tie, there's often lots of profanity that I wouldn't use if my mom was around, right? But that I use all the time. Like I mean, off podcast, you know, like I'm not mm-hmm. saying that I have, you know, that I speak for church times always. That's not what, so I think it's important to realize that's not what this is about, right? This is about the length of practices. We've heard several times now about guys complaining about their legs feeling like jello. Yeah. I love that Brian Mitchell's today response was, well, maybe you should have gotten up off your fat ass before you got to training camp. I think it's the quote from Brian Mitchell. So I thought that was interesting, and I think it's important to clear up. It's not necessarily like the gruff attitude. It's more about how hard they're getting worked.
Yeah, the tempo.
Either way is unacceptable to be complaining about in training camp.
It's funny because I think Bill Callahan was infamous for, you know, having the offensive lineman run extra reps after practice, kind of going that extra half an hour, and the offensive linemen were kind of concerned about that too. But Bill Callahan was also known as the offensive line guru and really elevated our offensive line and took them to that next level. So maybe Eric Bieniemy can do that.
You know, real quick, George, you know what I got out? You know, one of the biggest things I got out of that segment with Matthew is when he talked to Brad Robinson and he said they just didn't – We didn't do details last year because, you know, being coach hard in something that is something they did at Alabama. So not something new to him, but I thought very interesting that last year they like this is the first year that details have really been hammered home. And that's what EB is here for.
Exactly right. And I think that's so important. We talked about it yesterday on your podcast, actually, like the NFL talent level is so comparable. The attention to details, the limiting mistakes basically can really change the course of a game. So I'm really happy that Eric Bieniemy is here. Last question for you, then we're out of here. So speaking of work, right? So Friday is going to be our first preseason game. How much do you want to see the players actually get, like starters, a Chase Young and, you know, Sam Howell in the offensive line? How much playing time do you want to see them take the field on Friday?
Yeah, this is interesting because, and they talked a bit about this in the press conference today about, you know, coaches getting together and making those decisions. We've already heard Ron, you know, whether he backs it up or whether he backpedals, say that, you know, Hal will be out there as long as the ones are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get that. At the same time, you've got a young kid that needs reps.
Yeah.
And work. I don't know. I mean, again, how much do you want the other guys from the first team out there? And if you're only doing it together, like, I guess if the first drive is successful and they score a touchdown, that's probably all you'll see from them. If they don't do that, I'd like to see another drive.
Yeah.
That's how I feel on offense. On defense, I don't want to see any of them.
There you go.
I mean, so you know, what I mean?
So like differentiating scheme, depending on their experience, right?
These guys have been in the scheme for multiple years. That's right. This is. The difference from the offense to the defense on this team couldn't be more diametrically opposite, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's just completely different. So, yeah, the defense doesn't need any work as far as I'm concerned this go-around in the first game. The offense, I'd like to see at least one or two drives. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I'm with you. I think you're definitely opening my eyes. I think over the past couple of years, I like Ron Rivera as a person. I think he's a good leader of men, but I think he has been kind of conservative on the preseason. I've always wanted him to get more reps and to take it more seriously because I feel like all your discrepancies, all of the holes in your game are exposed when you're playing someone else as opposed to playing your own team. That's why I like having that exposure. But you're right. The defense has so much experience. You know, what's Kendall Fuller going to learn? Like, what's, you know, Montez Sweat or maybe De'Ron Payne or John Allen going to learn? They're elite. They're going to come ready to go every single day. That goes along with
three preseason games.
Yeah, exactly right. So, and they're going to throw that last one out anyway. That last game, they're not going to practice in any or play anyway. So it's one and a half pretty much. I don't know if I want to see Terry McLaurin out there because I think he's so prized. I don't want to see him get injured or hurt. Like, but you also want to see chemistry with Howell, but yeah. I want to see Howell get some reps. He has 19 pro throws, you know, at this level. He played against the Ravens last year in the preseason, but he needs more practice. I want to see him out there a fair amount. But I guess that one dilemma is if you're putting him out there with, you know, subpar wide receivers, subpar offensive line, are you kind of setting him up for failure? But I don't know. We'll see what happens on Friday. Cool.
At least we know one thing. Football's back, baby.
I love it, baby. All right. Thanks, Doug. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I appreciate it. Have a good day. Peace, guys.